It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Manning back, steps up, heaves one down the middle of the field, into the end zone, and Mix makes the catch for the touchdown! He went up with the big hands and caught it on the Hail Mary!
Boots one, returnable for Williams from his own 20. Lost the ball, and the Giants say they have it, and they do! Devin Thomas recovered it, but the rookie Jaquan Williams punched it out.
Manning out of the shotgun set, he's back to throw. Climbs the pocket, deep ball down the left sideline, and it's going to be caught. Was he inbounds? Yes! Manningham on the sideline. Brady's under pressure, Brady's chased, Brady heaves one. Down the middle of the field, into the end zone, a jump ball, and it's incomplete, and the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
Now here are your hosts, John Schmelk and Michael Eisen.
Well, we are back. The off-season edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. And we had a little hiatus after the Giants became Super Bowl 46 champions, but we'll carry it out through the draft, through OTAs, through training camp, you name it. We will be here talking Giants football and NFL football with you as well every morning at 10 a.m. on Giants.com, Big Blue Kickoff Live. And there are a bunch of ways you can talk to us. First, of course, is on the phone lines. Give us a call at 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. You can also reach out to us on Twitter at hashtag Giants chat, and we will answer your questions there. The format's going to change up a little bit. I'm going to be your primary host every day. Michael Eisen will be joining us on Wednesdays, and we'll try to get people calling in on a day-to-day basis, whether it's a Giants beat reporter, a member of our New York Giants broadcast team. Howard Cross will be joining us today. We'll be talking a lot of draft stuff, talking a lot of free agency stuff, and we've been getting a lot more freedom to talk about free agents, talk about guys that could potentially be drafted. So we have a lot of stuff we can talk about with you if you want to give us a call here on the phones at 201-939-4513. Of course, the Giants have had a relatively quiet offseason based on, you know, some standards in terms of, you know, Dallas Cowboys brought in the big cornerback from Kansas City. Obviously all the stuff with Tim Tebow. That press conference with the Jets is going to be today. That's going to be a zoo. You're going to have Peyton Manning, of course, going to Denver. It's been a very loud and full offseason. The Giants have quietly gone about their business. They've managed their salary cap, which was an issue heading into this offseason. Brandon Jacobs no longer with the team. He's still a free agent. I suppose there's still a possibility out there that he might find his way back to the Giants. I don't know anything, but that certainly is not out of the question considering where the two groups, the team and Brandon, are at this point in time. David Carr returns to the Giants as their backup quarterback. They've been very happy with him in that role over the past couple of years. Obviously, he left and came back after being unable to win the starting job down in San Francisco. He was put in a bad spot there, though. Changed coaches, changed general managers. Wasn't really given that fair of a shake. And it worked out well for the 49ers. I mean, Alex Smith ended up being a very good quarterback for them this year. They flirted with Peyton Manning, and we were talking about that early in the offseason that if you're the Giants or any team in the NFC for that matter, the one place you did not want Peyton Manning to wind up was the San Francisco 49ers, considering how great their defense was last year. You put a guy like Peyton Manning with that defense, that is a very, very dangerous combination. So keep Peyton Manning in the AFC. That's certainly a good thing for the New York Giants. The Giants do play the 49ers in San Francisco again for the third time in 2 years this year. So that'll be obviously a huge game over the course of the NFL regular season. The Giants do bring back Terrell Thomas this offseason on a four-year contract, but really the way it's structured, if the media reports are correct, and that's all I'm going by, they really have a way to figure out after that 1 year exactly how healthy he is. The second time he's torn that ACL on that knee, so clearly he's working his way back. Remember, though, he did hurt that knee back in late August, early September, so he has had a long time to get that rehab. It's much different for a guy like Travis Beckham or a guy like Jake Ballard, who hurt their knees, obviously, in January and February, and that's 4 or 5 less months to rehab. So the Giants are very hopeful Terrell Thomas will be back in training camp, being able to do everything he could possibly do, and he'll be ready for the season. Another move the Giants made, Martellus Bennett coming in. He's right now, I guess, penciled in as the Giants starting tight end last year. This year, they really don't have many other tight ends on the active roster, for that matter. They'll maybe find somebody late in the draft, early in the draft. Maybe they'll find the free agent. There's still a lot of guys on the market, obviously, that can play the tight end position. So that's another move the Giants made. Martellus Bennett, a great athlete. He's played for the Dallas Cowboys since he was drafted in the second round. I believe it was 4 or 5 years ago. Cowboys had high hopes for him, a very athletic tight end. Had to get stuck behind Jason Witten, who really is going to go down as one of the better tight ends in the history of the league. Going to be a Hall of Famer. And he hasn't had that much of an opportunity, but when he's played, he hasn't had a lot of production. So that's really something that's hanging over Bennett's head at this point. He hasn't lived up to those second-round expectations. He's become a very good blocker. That's really the strongest part of his game. He's very strong at the edge, setting the edge on the run, good against the pass as well. And Martellus Bennett will be a good addition to the Giants. You know, Mike Pope, who did so much with really very limited personnel last year, Ballard, Pasco, Beckham, and he got a lot out of that position. He'll get his hands on Martellus Bennett, try to turn him into not only a player with potential for the Giants, but a productive player for the Giants as well. Now, with Dallas, remember, he had some off-the-field stuff. He had some that Marty B TV, which not smart, a lot of that stuff. And on the field, he had a lot of drop passes. He had trouble staying healthy a lot of the time. He was a king of the high ankle sprain for a couple years in Dallas. So those will all be things that the Giants have to keep an eye on with Martellus Bennett. Other Giants that are free agents that haven't been brought back, Dominic Hickson's a guy that did come back for the Giants. He was re-signed. Kareem McKenzie's still a free agent. The other guys that the Giants haven't really dealt with yet that are out there, Dave Tollefson, Chase Blackburn, Aaron Ross, of course, no longer with Big Blue. He's moved on to the Jacksonville Jaguars, heading back down south. Aaron Ross, the Texas guy, so he's not that far from Texas being in Jacksonville. He just got to get across Louisiana there. So he signed with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Mario Manning, of course, leaves for San Francisco. Really, I thought he would get a little bit more money in free agency, to be honest with you. But he got paid, but it wasn't an unrealistic amount. But he'll be in San Francisco now, really as their number one wide receiver to complement Vernon Davis. You know, you have Crabtree down there too, but Manning has really had more success down there. And of course, the 49ers bringing Randy Moss as well. Who knows how much he has left in the tank after not playing in the league last year. So a lot of stuff to do for the Giants. They're getting ready for the draft now. That's what the personnel department's been working on upstairs since the season's ended, really. Mark Ross, the director of college scouting, getting all that done. Jerry Reese, of course, involved in those meetings as well. And even the assistant coaches, they all look at these player tapes and they give their input on who the Giants are drafting as well. So all that stuff going on in the building as the Giants get ready for the 2012 NFL Draft, which comes your way the weekend of April 28th in about a month. So we'll be ramping up to that on Giants.com as well. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Former Giants tight end Howard Cross will join us in just a second right here on Giants.com. We're going to talk to him a little bit about what the Giants have done so far this offseason. And we're also going to talk to Howard about Ron Earhart, the Giants' former assistant coach and longtime offensive coordinator, who unfortunately passed away last week. And we'll talk to Howard. Howard did play for him for that 1990 Super Bowl team. And we'll talk to Howard a little bit about that right here on Giants.com. All right, everybody, we thank you for joining us. And we're really trying to do a better job here on the website this offseason, getting more stuff up consistently, a lot of history stuff. We're going to do a lot of current stuff, obviously, preparation for the draft. Over the last few weeks, we've done some interviews with some players. You can check those out on Giants.com. We've had David Carr. We've had Justin Tuck. Steve Weatherford, of course, makes his way back for the Giants this offseason as well. He was a big part of the Giants' success last year on special teams, really filled the void that Jeff Fegels left when he retired a couple years ago. And Steve Weatherford, a great punter and a great teammate for Big Blue as well. He was just fantastic last year, and the Giants are very happy to have him back into the fold on a multi-year contract. And, boy, I talked to Steve Weatherford, and you will not find the guy more thrilled and happy to be here with the Giants and being a member of this organization for a long time to come. There's a lot of chemistry. He got along well with Zach Diassi, got along well with Lawrence Tynes, and, you know, it's just one of those deals where very, very happy to be back with Big Blue. And now we're joined by a member of our New York Giants radio team and, of course, former New York Giants tight end, the big man, Howard Cross. Cross, long time no speak, brother. How are you?
How we doing, guys? What's going on today?
Nothing much, man. First of all, I guess we'll touch on this first. What's your take so far on the Giants' somewhat quiet, but I would say productive offseason thus far?
You know, Jerry Reese and Tom Coughlin have a game plan. I don't really question it. It seems like since the little regime here, their time together, they've been very successful. I like what they're doing so far. But it's going to take some time. You know, you got some holes to fill, and you got some talented players coming in the draft, and not so many guys moving around as you think.
All right, well, let's talk about some of the guys the Giants lost first. Mario Manningham on his way to San Francisco. He's going to be there now with Crabtree, Randy Moss, and Manningham will be in the mix there as well. I guess it's just one of those deals, Howard, with the Giants' salary cap situation. They couldn't find the dollars for a third wide receiver, especially in a season where Victor Cruz emerged and Hakeem Nicks continue to prove that he's a legit number one.
Well, yeah, those two guys are great. They're over the top, believe it or not, with their yards. You know, both of them at 1,500 yards each. I don't know when the Giants have ever had that, if ever.
Never.
When it comes down, exactly. When it comes down to Manningham, talented receiver. I think what hurt Manningham mostly was his time off the field. You know, it's hard to say in this day and age because we're all about player safety, but you can't really stay around if you're always on the sideline or always seemingly a little banged up. Dynamic receiver when he was playing, but a lot of times on the sideline or in the tub, as they say.
Yeah.
The other thing that may have struck me was that, you know, very good, like I said, super talented receiver, but sometimes just a little off, you know, system with Eli, and that, you know, that didn't help him at all. When you're in that contract year and you're trying to get paid, you want to be on the field and as close to perfect as you can possibly be.
Now, the one hole the Giants really had on their roster, Howard, after last season, was at tight end. You had, obviously, Jake Ballard and Travis Beckham both tear up their knees pretty badly in the Super Bowl. Bear Pascoe hasn't been brought back yet as a member of the Giants. So they bring in Martellus Bennett, a guy that they're familiar with. He's been in the division, played for the Dallas Cowboys the last handful of years. What's your take on him? You've seen him a lot, obviously, being on the sideline during all those Giants-Cowboys games. How much can he help the Giants?
He could help a lot. He had maybe bitten off a little bit more than he can chew with the Giants. I think when he was with the Cowboys, he had the luxury of having a decent tight ends coach, good guy, Garrett's brother down
there.
Yeah,
John Garrett,
great,
yeah.
Great guy. But he also had Witten. So he kind of had the no-pressure job, and he kind of hung out and a lot was asked of him, but not as much was asked of him as could have been because he always had Jason Witten. Now he kind of comes here, and he's kind of the guy. And when you're the guy, you get the coach, and you get Coach Pope. And Coach Pope, a bit of a taskmaster. He's going to get more out of him, as the expression goes with us. We're going to get more out of you than you expect of yourself.
Now, you're a guy that obviously was coached by Coach Pope. What are some of the first things he's going to do once he gets his hands on Bennett to try to help him fit in with the Giants and really – live up to his potential? Everyone talks about what a great athlete he is, but he really hasn't had any production.
He's going to challenge his will. He's going to challenge his will and what he thinks he should be doing. When you're a player, you know, and I talk to kids about this a lot, so we can gauge you on your skills, we can teach you a lot of things, but we can't create the want to. And he's going to help explain to the kid what is, you know, that desire, that intangible thing is. He's going to talk to him about it constantly, not just the drills, not just making plays, not just trying to fit in a block, but he's going to constantly talk to him about how you got to want to do this and what it takes to get it done. You know, guys like Bavaro, Moat, myself, you know, to some extent, Shockey even, that want to make plays, that want to play, that aggressive nature that comes with that position. You got to want to do it. It's not the cleanest job in the world, but it's a fun job.
How quickly and how good do you think Terrell Thomas is going to be coming back from that knee injury?
Well, the good thing is that he got hurt so far, you know, out so early in the season. So he'll have almost a full year before he really has to test it.
Right.
And I think that's good. It usually takes about a year to get back. And he had a full, you know, full season and an extended season because of the Super Bowl. But he gets a full season, which doesn't really matter to him, of working out, getting it better, getting it stronger, and getting it up. The good thing is he kind of knows what it takes to get back because he got hurt before. So he knows what it takes to get back. He knows he's going to work a little bit harder as he gets a little older. Even though he's a young man, he knows he has to work twice as hard to get back this time as he did last time because he has a lot to prove.
Do you think the Giants are going to bring back Deion Grant as their third safety?
Do I think they're going to bring him back? I think they're going to really check the market. You got to remember, it's still draft time, and a lot of these decisions won't be made until after the draft. Mm. you know, if you look at, you know, some of the guys that are not quite back yet, not on the team, or seem like they're up in the air and they're out there kicking tires around the league, they're doing it because they, you know, the draft is coming. Even though they're the 31st pick, you'll have players that will be in the draft that you don't think of. The running back from Miami will be in the draft. The running back from Oregon's going to be in the draft. The running back from, there's a couple kids that are going to be, you know, pretty highly touted that won't be first round, or be it late first round. The tight end from Georgia, who, you know, would have been higher in the draft, but because of his DUI has slid down in the draft. So there are going to be some players that ordinarily, you know, because running backs are, it's not the high commodity anymore.
Right.
Tight ends, you know, there were only three or four in the whole combine. There are going to be some players that are going to be floating around that bottom part of the draft, since defense is such a high priority these days, that you might be able to pick up.
Well, you mentioned a couple of potential needs with the Giants, Howard, in the draft coming up, tight end and running back. Where else do you see the Giants looking in terms of positions when they evaluate their draft board in about a month and get ready to go in the 2012 NFL draft?
Well, you know, they're going to be looking at tackle, of course. You know, Kareem McKenzie is a good player, but they're going to be looking for that spot. They're going to be trying to figure out how to get a guy in there, a younger guy, a big-bodied guy that can move his feet. There will be a few guys that are going to be down in that position. Again, the draft, as you look at it, you know, about five of the two quarterbacks, everybody knows, is going to be really front-end loaded with defensive players. So the back end of the draft might be turning out to have some of those tackles that can move around, and maybe a utility guy that could play like our utility guy who wound up starting for most of the year.
Kevin Booth.
Big Booth. I believe that, you know, I believe there's going to be a lot more of those guys in the draft this year. And keep an eye out for it. I mean, the Giants, they have to fill some positions. There are a lot of holes they can fill. Again, I wish I could say that they'd be looking at running back or something like that, or they'd be looking at tight end. They are notorious for drafting the best player on the board and trying to fill him in. Since it's going to be so heavy with if you look at the draft, again, there's so many D linemen. There are so many defensive ends. There's so many linebackers. Safeties and corners, believe it or not, they're going to be filling up that first part of that draft. There are a few tackles that are going to be in that top tier. Then the next group of guys are pretty good.
All right, Howard, I want to touch on a couple other things going on around the NFL with you. First, let's start. Do you think Randy Moss has anything left?
Yeah, I think Randy Moss probably got out there. I don't know what was going on in his personal life, but I think that he got kind of distracted a little bit, as he will do when he's playing ball, but I think he got distracted, and I think that he needed somewhere where he needed some. Outside of Chris Carter, he's really not had the structure except for the time he played with, you know, the Belichicks and the Bradys. Then he kind of like wandered around the league, and once you start to talk out and get out of line, people get rid of you. Now he's going to go to a team in San Francisco where Harbaugh's not going to put up with that.
Right.
So Harbaugh's impressed with him. He has the ability still to run. I mean, you know, hands down, he's still going to run like a 4.4, maybe a high 4.3, 40. That's still hard to cover. So you put this guy on the field, and you say, look, fit in or get out. We had a talented receiver here last year, maybe not as talented as you, but we didn't feel like he was fitting in, so we moved him along.
So last year,
Alex Smith just threw the ball to one guy the entire year, basically.
So you think that Randy Moss still has that I-can-beat-you-man-on-man deep down the sideline of fly route? He still has that speed?
He doesn't have to have that much of it because you can't touch him after 5 yards.
Fair enough. Peyton Manning, Denver, what do you think?
Manning, Denver. I believe that, you know, I've heard a lot of comments and everything. I know Peyton's supposedly not a good outside quarterback. He's a pretty good quarterback, you know, regardless of where he is, inside or outside.
Agreed.
I think a lot of people don't really understand when you look at all the teams and what he was thinking about. You can't go to Miami. No offense to Miami, but when the owner's doing most of the talking, you can't go there. The Jets, same thing. The owner, Rex, all the circus moment, can't go there. Can't go to the Redskins. Forget about being in the same conference. Just not a team. You got to play the Giants and the Eagles twice a year. That's four times they're going to be testing that neck every time he goes up. That's probably the reason he didn't go to Arizona, because San Francisco will get shots on him. They have a lot of different things, but their quarterback's not getting hurt because he's falling down. He's getting hurt because he's getting hit. And I think that kind of weighed in on him there. when it came down to Tennessee, probably a decent division to play in, but you played Texas twice. They're a pretty good team. They'll get after you a little bit. But the big thing was that whole idea that he was going to get a lifetime contract. At the end of the day, he is going to retire an Indianapolis Colt. The reason why he picks Denver, more than anything else, they got a few pieces they can add. Plus, they basically changed their entire offensive scheme to fit Tebow.
That's true. And you gotta imagine they'll do the same for Manning.
Yeah. They threw it out. They're like, you know, oh, we're going to run the option from this point on. Spread option, just like college. We're just going to run it. And players complained and everything went crazy, but it kind of worked. So if they're willing to do that much and give that much leeway to make it work for a player that they didn't consider, not that Tebow's not a good player, but not a good quarterback. If they did that much for Tebow, just take the reins off. Hey, Manning, how do you want to run this?
Right. All right, Howard, and I've been looking forward to asking you about this. I'm sure you're going to have something funny to say. Tim Tebow and Mark Sanchez with the Jets. Go.
Tebow and Mark Sanchez with the Jets. At first, I beat him up really bad. I've been killing him on Twitter and everything else.
I know you have.
I thought it was a dumb thing to do. Sanchez, you know, can't take any more pressure than he's already getting. Giving him a 2-year extension, you know, then bringing in Tebow. I still don't understand the concept of them bringing in Tebow when it comes down to the delicate nature of their quarterback. Mark is struggling. So you bring in a guy who's coming in with so much hype, and the fans, even though they're not, you know, as big of a Christian movement in New York as it was out there in Denver, they'll be screaming Tebow, they'll be Tebow jerseys, they'll be going nuts. That's going to be pressure on Sanchez. But here's the good thing. The way that they want to play football and for the Jets, they want to have mistake-free football.
It actually fits Tebow better in a lot of ways.
But they want to play mistake-free football. They don't want turnovers. They just want, okay, we want our defense to play well enough to win and our quarterback not to lose the game for us. That's kind of what they want. Now, that's going to be a problem for Sanchez. it just is. The whole idea he's coming in and he's going to be a backup quarterback, I like the idea they have him in there, that Wildcat thing. I think that's kind of interesting. It could work. But the whole thing is, it's not going to work for Sanchez because every time he has to step off the field to give this kid plays, any success he has, it's going to look bad for him, and he's going to overdo his moment trying to get better. It's a problem from the standpoint that he had lost the locker room, so to speak, as a quarterback, and guys were chirping behind his back the entire time. It's a problem for Rex because if this thing fails, he's out of there.
Yeah.
He's just out of there. But at the end of the day, it is what it is. You go out and get him, try to make it work. I think it's funny, personally, because, you know, if it's me, I'm trying to pick up a tackle. I'm trying to pick up a running back. I'm trying to figure out if I can get a receiver to put pressure on Holmes because if I get a guy on the other side that can really play, Holmes has got to shut up and pick it up.
Right.
Instead, they go out and get Tebow. Mind you, he's like Peyton. The way I look at it is Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Tim Tebow, popularity. Forget about, you know, discount, double take, and all that stuff. Tim Tebow. People talked about Tebow more than any other player in the league last year. Even Manning, and Manning wasn't playing. The guy flew in on his own jet.
No, Howard, you're right. Look, there is absolutely no denying that Tim Tebow has, beyond sports even, cult following, where these people wouldn't know a quarterback rating or a slant pattern if their life depended on it, but they're going to be there chanting for Tim Tebow because of everything else that has nothing to do with football.
Which was the reason why Elway and Fox got rid of him.
And the only way they could get rid of him is by bringing in an icon like Peyton Manning.
Yeah, I mean, it's sad because if you're looking at his career, Tebow's career, the absolute best thing for him would have been to stay in Denver.
And learn from Peyton.
And just stand under Peyton's skirt every day. And Peyton said, hey, kid, come along. You know, I'm here for 2 or 3 years. I want to win a championship. I want you to watch everything I do.
Yeah, it's true. All right, Howard, before we say goodbye, I want to get one more thing from you. And unfortunately, last week, former Giants offensive coordinator Ron Earhart passed away. I know you played for him in the 90s Super Bowl What was it like playing under his system, and what kind of emotions did you deal with when you heard about his passing?
It was a sad moment for me, especially, you know, the first offensive coordinator in the NFL I had was Ron Earhart. I remember him, you know, really taking time to get to know me, explaining what he expected of me. You know, it's funny because when you think about the coaching staff, you thought about Bill Parcells. Well, I thought about Ron Earhart because Earhart and Coach Pope were the guys who were telling me, you can do this, you can do that, this is what we're going to do for you, we're putting in this package for you, you know, kid, you're doing great, you're doing this. Bill may be giving you grief. These guys were the guys who were coming behind. Bill's like, yeah, you know, he's doing that for everybody. Come on, let's go, let's go. And Ron really, you know, as for my rookie year, making it on the All-NFL rookie team and all that stuff, that's Ron Earhart. That's Coach Pope. That's Ron Earhart, you know, believing in me, you know, drawing up plays to get me into the game and being good to me. I can remember, you know, the passionate speech he made before the Super Bowl in 1990 where he, you know, broke down in tears, you know, the night before the game. You know, I still remember that. I don't recall that ever happening in any other circumstance where a coach feeling that way. And, you know, you would think the head coach would be making that speech before the game. Here we go, guys. This is what we're going to do it for. Ron getting up and talking and that passion. I knew how big the game was to see this grown man that I had respect for, that I thought a lot of, with tears in his eyes, standing up and talking about the game before we got ready to play, the night before. And that's what I think of him. And, you know, after he had retired and everything, I'd see him from time to time. Always perfect gentleman, always had great things to say, and, you know, the pride he always said he had in me, I had doubly in him because he was just a good man all around.
And you're right, Howard. Most people, when they think about those two teams, think about, you know, the defense, Bill Belichick, Bill Parcells, Giants defense. But he really, you know, ran a very structured offense. You guys did what you did. A lot of times people knew what you were going to do, but you were just so good at what you guys did that you were able to do it anyway. And then in that Super Bowl season, he really – how much did he have to change what you guys did when Jeff Hostetler took over for Phil Sims?
He didn't have to change a whole lot. If you think about it, you see it a little bit in Belichick's team now with the Patriots. He ran a three tight end offense. People call it the heavy group now or the big group. We just call it the load formation. We had it when it was the
load.
First year, my rookie year, it was myself, Bavaro, and Zeke Mott. And the next year, I think it was Bob. What was Bob's last name? Big Bobby. He was from Penn State, tight end. He was like 6'7", 6'8". Myself and Bavaro again. I mean, it was great to see, you know, what we did. We'd get into the game. You could see us there. You knew what we were doing, but you couldn't do anything about it. You know, and that's the thing you miss about the game. The game's changed a lot, but when you have something that works, like, okay, we're going to get in the game. We're going 34 right, 35 left, you know, 38 right, 38 left. Stop it. Like, well, 5 yards. Well, we stopped them. No, we got 5 yards. Like, okay, run it again. First down. And that's kind of what you did. It was just simple, fundamental football. It's the kind of thing that you would hope that people would learn and see. You see it a little bit, I hate to say it, you see it a lot in Alabama, the way they play football. Nothing glaringly great. Everybody all over the field, nope, we're going to line up. We do it this way. Stop us. When you stop us, good for you. Until you stop us, bad for you. That's what Coach Earhart did with that offense. Otis Anderson had a great year running the ball. You know, that's what he did. He's like, you know, hey, this works. I don't have to go too far outside of this.
Howard, we appreciate the time, man. Thanks a lot. Hopefully the offseason's treating you well, bud.
So far, so good.
All right, Howard, see you soon. That's former Giants tight end Howard Cross right here on Giants.com. And we're going to say goodbye in just a second, but I'm very happy on our first off-season show. We can welcome in our good friend, Len, down in Maryland. What's going on, Len?
Hey, John. How you doing? Welcome back.
Thanks, Len. It's good to be here. We'll be here every day, by the way, from here on through the rest of the off-season from 10 to 10:30. It's going to be a lot of fun, and we're going to need you callers out there to help carry the show. So tell your friends.
Yeah, great. It's great. It was a great show in the fall, and I'm sure it will continue you know, right up through the season this year.
Sure.
Just you know, one quick point. I know we're getting near the end of the show here, but I just wanted to mention, you know, if we were going to write down the starting lineup for, you know, first night there in the fall, I think we could pretty much do it at this point for every position, you know, barring injury, for every position except middle linebacker. And not that I'm terribly concerned, because I'd like to see, you know, I'd like to see Chase Blackburn get another shot. That play in the Super Bowl, John, and I'm sure you will agree with this, where he intercepted that pass in that fourth quarter.
Oh, game changer.
40 yards down the field. I turned to my wife. I was lucky enough to attend.
Oh, good for you, Len. That's great.
Yeah, it was a great, you know, great experience. I'm a season ticket holder, and I, you know, finally won the lottery.
Oh, nice.
I'm 1 for 5. I'm 1 for 5 on the lottery. But in any event, you know, here's Chase one-on-one with Gronkowski, 40 yards down the field, and he comes down with the ball. And, you know, for me, play of the game. And I turned to my wife and said, listen, we're going to win this game. If Chase Blackburn can run 40 yards down the field and intercept the pass, I think we're going to win this game. And, I hope he gets another shot at the team. But that's probably the one position, 22 starters, count the kickers, 24 spot. That's probably the one spot where it's a little unclear at this point. What do you see? What are you hearing? What do you see? What are you guessing the Giants are going to try there? I don't think there's going to be anything splashy, but who's in the middle opening night?
You know what, Len? After you made your point, I'm thinking about it. That's really the only position where I'm not going to say I don't have a clue, but I really don't know. Our producer here, Dave Melroy, says maybe right tackle. My guess is that they'll probably move Deal out to right tackle, and you can slide Boothie in at guard and Boss at center. You could probably do that. On defensive line, assuming Chris Canty's knee's okay, you'll be fine at defensive tackle. So, yeah, I think middle linebacker is really the only position you have a question about. You're going to have Jaquan Williams and Boley, obviously, at the two outside spots.
Right.
I think Chase might come back. You know, he could be an option. We'll see if they end up bringing back Jonathan Goff on a contract coming off that ACL. Remember, he tore his knee up early in the season, just like Terrell Thomas did.
Right.
So he might be back. He's an option. But I think the Giants also want to give an opportunity to their two young middle linebackers on the roster, both Greg Jones and Mark Herzlich, and give them an opportunity to, if not win a starting job, at least get significant playing time next year. But remember, we still have the draft. There's still a lot of guys out there in free agency.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that'll certainly be a position the Giants look to in the draft. But And Len, I stress this all the time to all the Giant fans that always call in, we need this, we need that. When you go into a draft saying we have to get something, that's when you make a bad pick. So it's just a matter of finding the correct player at the correct value, whether it's money or draft pick, and that's what they'll have to do in middle linebacker. You're right. If you put a gun to my head and I said, John, who's going to be the Giants starting middle linebacker next year, I'd say it's somebody that's not yet on the roster.
Wow. Hey, that's a good one. That's a good one. Well, I'm hoping just one thing, and then you know, I'll call back later in the week. I hope Chase gets another chance. I just, you know, one of the all-time great plays in Giants history, that interception.
No, Len, I agree. Thank you very much, and we look forward to hearing you later in the week. All right, bud?
All right, John. Bye-bye.
Have a good one. And, you know, middle linebacker is one of those questions. It was a question going into last year's draft. A lot of people wanted the Giants to draft McClain, who ended up in Oakland. He never actually got to the Giants selection anyway. So, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, that's a question, Mark, the Giants are going to have. And luckily, you're a Super Bowl champion. You don't have that many holes, per se, which is a great thing. You got to see who's going to share carries with Ahmad Bradshaw, running back. Is it going to be DJ Ware? Is it going to be Darrell Scott? Or are the Giants going to draft somebody? Are they going to bring in a free agent? Maybe Brandon Jacobs will come back. He's still on the market. You don't know about that. You can't rule that out of the possibilities. But the Giants still have a lot of work to do to complete this roster heading into next season. There are still a lot of question marks. And they don't have a ton of resources left in terms of money to spend, if all the reports are correct in terms of their salary cap situation. But remember, Jerry Reese likes to lay in the weeds, do his business, wait for the correct opportunity to bring in the correct player to fill the Giants' needs. Remember, around this time last year, and even worse, after the draft, figure June last year, everyone was absolutely freaking out that the Giants hadn't, you know, Steve Smith, Boss, what are they doing, who's playing middle linebacker, what are we doing here? I was scared, but guys, everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be fine. Let Jerry Reese do his work. He's helped the team win 2 Super Bowls. Let's give the man his due credit and give him the benefit of that, at least for now. 201-939-4513. That's the phone number all week long here on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com. You can talk to us there, or you can send in your questions on Twitter. at hashtag Giants Chat. Didn't have a chance to even look or check them today, but I will do so first thing in the show tomorrow, and we'll try to take a lot of questions on a Twitter Tuesday tomorrow right here on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Every day, this show will come your way from 10 to 10:30. Thanks for joining us. We'll get more into free agency, the draft, and all that other good stuff as the week goes along right here on Giants.com.